of Jesus, for the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of prayer himself, the Spirit of prophecy himself. And Father, we thank you for this prophetic season that we entered into. Lord, we thank you for our prophetic utterances. We thank you, Father God, for rica sprangre, the spirit of seeing and knowing, supernatural knowledge. Oh, rasele de be, arrecatara de be, arroba darie que sastraba. We arusha kadariesa ke, y'all can test them out for me, see how it works. Zeta bracati kiara da bakasa. Oh, hold on a minute. Oops, 24 minutes ago, how did I miss this? Oh, I wasn't receiving messages, okay. I got to answer the boss, Pastor Terry, so give me a minute. Okay. So I'm going to let you hold it, and she texts me back. Just let me know. Okay. Okay. So we're talking about this prophetic praying, and what I've noticed is, the more I've dove into it, the more God has opened up. And, you know, I have many platforms that I'm on, you know, during the week. You know, I have a prayer group with Pastor Terry that she conducts with her pastors and ministers. I have a prayer group down the hill that is not just a prayer group, but my whole department that I do prayer with. You know, Friday prayer. I haven't been in Friday prayer as much, but I will get in the first of the year to impart this, to open that place up prophetically. But what I've noticed is how that every time God has said, go and release this anointing about prophetic praying, it just opens up. So this past week at my department down the hill, I do a prayer training on Tuesdays. For the most part, you know, sometimes I don't get to do it. I have other people can. But for the most part, I like to conduct those for a lot of reasons. But if I can, I have others that can. However, this past Tuesday, I was looking at, you know, my schedule. And, of course, my precious assistant, Hizuri, was trying to help me. And she said, so you just want to cancel Tuesday prayer? And I thought, I need to. But just deep in here, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me. Because up until this point, I had not talked about prophetic praying with them. Because I'm just trying to follow God and, you know, minister according to the people groups, you know. But I'm coming to find that this is something that God wants every platform that I have to have. So I just got quiet about it, and the Lord said, okay, go in, of course, obviously, give them some stats of what they've accomplished for the year, and then I want you to do this prophetic, introduce them to it, and open up a place here. And I said, okay. Because you know now, each place in the spirit is different. Each place has to be opened up for its own purpose. And the more that I look at that word that I read from you, which I will repeat here shortly from Pastor Terry, the more I see, oh, yes, it's for the entire ministry. It's not just for the church. It's not just for the ministry. It's not just for the prayer people. It's for everyone. Amen. Now, so I did. I introduced it. We got into it. Now, that prayer time normally goes for an hour. You know, I've gone over 30 minutes. I've gone over before. This time, if you subtract it, I did the teaching. I looked at the clock. It's about 5 to 4. I'm telling you, it seems like 5 minutes went by and it was 6:40. We were still there. And this prophetic anointing just came in and did what only it can do. Open it up. I just can't express to you enough how that God finger, his hand, I would say, is on this prophetic praying. How I'm seeing him. Same thing happened in the Wednesday prayer group that Pastor Terry leads. So she took some time off, and she's asking me to lead it. I typically lead it when she's not there anyway. So, but I'm leading it for her, and I had it in my heart. I'm like, if I could just get this to our pastors, if I could just get them over in this room, if I can just get them on this platform with me, you know, and so I had them in my heart, and true enough, you know, I went in, and the Lord gave me utterance to deliver, and man, it opened it up again, did it not? So, and I'm not up here trying to convince you that what I'm doing is real. I'm just showing you how to get with God as leaders, how that you get with God and hear the direction of the Lord and go with it, and his hand will be on it. Now, I will start because I just don't think I can start without reading from this book, Perry Stone, This Season of Angels. You know, God gave me this book back when we were praying in tongues because it talks about how angels are released, and we talked about that when we were praying in tongues. So, brigadera brasa kara manena brigadanda eskatada, zegada broga dora raboko sexkada hashkada. John 5, on page 3 from Perry Stone books, The Season of Angels. John 5:4 tells of a beautiful water source located near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem where an angel bringing healing will occasionally manifest. John wrote that an angel appeared at a certain season. The word for season here in the Greek is kairos, a word used to indicate a specific season or opportunity that is also a set moment in time. The scriptures teach us that there are times and seasons, and the Hebrew word for that is moed, a designated time and moment, okay? The scriptures teach us that there are times and seasons which God has placed within his own power. Prophetic signs indicate the world is entering the season identified as the time of the end, which releases the most significant prophetic season since the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, of Christ. Biblically, there have been numerous prophetic seasons, including transitions that changed the world. So we've entered this prophetic season, and the Lord is speaking to us about, you know, giving us the weapon for the season, giving us the appropriate tool, giving us the precision, you know, the precise weapon for the season. And in every prophetic season, there was all in scripture, there was always a prelude, a prophetic prayer going, if you will. Now, I sort of want to backtrack a little, which somehow that happens when, with me at least, when the Lord give me something that I particularly haven't, I've always known about prophetic praying, but I always used to tell people, okay, you notice that just happened. You heard me in Friday prayer. That's prophetic praying. And I used to say, but I don't know how to teach on that. So, but recently, through praying in tongues, the Lord opened up my eyes and began to give me some insight from scripture. Now, so I want to go back a little bit, just for those of you that some of you I see has not been here the whole tenure of this. I have just these notes that, okay, I'm missing a sheet of paper, Zuri. Okay. Look down in that black bag and see if there's a loose piece of paper that looked like this. was last week's date? The 15th? Wednesday was the 15th? Oh, what was it? Okay. Maybe it's in this one. Maybe it's in my Bible. Soon. Did you gather my stuff Wednesday? That's in my purse. That's for today. But bring it on. I need that. Did you gather my stuff?
Yes, sir.
You better get find it. Oh, no, that's not it. Oh, here it is. Sorry, Soon. 12. Okay. Okay. So, but I want to go back and just kind of for the sole purpose of, I think, what the Lord wants to do today. I've touched it, but I haven't gone into any depth of it, which won't be a lot of depth, but some more insight into this prophetic anointing. So, let's talk about some dimensions of the prophetic. Now, the first one, I'm going to say this one first. This is not in any order of ranking of anything, but I'm going to say this one first because I'm not going to elaborate on it, but I'm going to recommend a resource for you. It's nothing out there like it. And in the first dimension of the prophetic is the prophet's ministry. And I'm not going to get into detail, but I would recommend, if you have not done so, go to our bookstore and purchase Pastor Terry's teaching on the ministry of the prophet. I mean, there's nothing out there like it. It is a phenomenal teaching, line upon line, precept on precept. In fact, it will help you. It will equip, it will give you some weapons when you go in the spirit. You'll have something to pull up out of there. You'll have the sword available when the spirit wills for it. So I'm not, because, not that I couldn't teach it. The Lord anointed me to teach on the ministry of the prophet. I could. But, you know, so that's not what I'm doing today. And so, but I would like for you to go. How many are going to promise me you're going to go to the bookstore and purchase it? Okay. So, and some of you probably already have it. So the ministry of the prophet, you have to listen to this. I listen to it in seasons. Sometimes I'll listen to it. Sometimes for 6 months, every week. Sometimes for a month, you know, 2 and 3 times a week. Sometimes for a year, weekly, you know, bi-weekly. As the Lord leads, but I have to keep that voice in me to be able to carry out what I'm supposed to do. Because some of you think it's a lot of me. Pastor Terry and I very seldom meet. Yeah, she's busy, but I know how to meet with her. I listen to her teachings. All right. So that dimension, the ministry of the prophet, if you can have it listened to by January 2nd, it's a Thursday, 4th is Saturday, by January 5th, that would be wonderful. If you could have that, at least you don't have to listen to the whole thing. If you can just start listening to it, it's going to change your life and your ministry. Amen. So now, this other dimension of the prophetic is the spirit of prophecy. Now, early on, when we started talking about this, the Lord showed us how the spirit of prophecy can operate. Remember over in 2 Chronicles 20:20, where Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel were faced with the enemies, with all the bites, the ites, and the yikes, you know? And that... Jehoshaphat called prayer, right? He called not only the church, he called the whole nation to prayer. And they began to pray and seek the Lord. And remember what happened, that spirit of prayer brought the spirit of prophecy. And the Bible says it came upon this guy, Hazael, I forgot his name, but anyway, It came upon him, and he prophesied, but guess what? Because it was prophetic, it had strategy in it. So the spirit of prophecy. Now, the thing about the spirit of prophecy, it could come upon you and it can leave. It could come upon you, it can leave. It can, you know, so that's basically it. It can come upon you, but it can leave. Now, then the other dimension of the prophetic is the gift of prophecy. You know, some people have the gift of prophecy. Well, we all have access to the gift of prophecy because it's in those gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. But then there's the gift of prophecy. Some God just give people the gift of prophecy, you know, and people with the gift of prophecy, the gift is there and it doesn't come and go, it's there, but you have to know how to access it. You have to work with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, the gift of prophecy, so let me go back. I want to say something about praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is the prerequisite to prophetic praying. I knew that, but the Lord just made me to know it. He just, because I was thinking about all of this. I'm like, God, you all of us, it's just like you just took me over into this place to teach on prophetic praying. And he said, it came out of that praying in tongues. You obeyed me. You gather the body to pray in tongues. And so praying in tongues is like a prerequisite for prophetic praying. Isn't that amazing? God demonstrated, and now he's teaching me. You know, because I really hadn't connected the dots before. And so now he allowed me to connect the dots this last week. So that's all I'll say about the gift of prophecy. You know, we talked about it means to speak by inspiration, the word prophecy itself. But and also the Greek version of the word prophecy means to mentally perceive. And there's, you have vision with prophetic praying. You can not only speak divine utterance, but you perceive. You have vision. You know clearly. When you start operating in the prophetic, you know clearly. And the more you pray in tongues and the more you yield to this, the picture, what the vision is so plain and clear. Now, this next dimension of the prophetic that I'm going to kind of go a little bit more in detail on is the prophetic anointing. The prophetic anointing. Now, the prophetic anointing operates in varying degrees. Now, here's the thing about this anointing. You can have this anointing and operate as a prophet, but you're not a prophet. And I think that's why a lot of people in the body of Christ miss it. They have this gift, this prophetic anointing, and God will cause them to step over into that office and begin to proclaim something. And then they proclaim, I'm a prophet, which normally that's not the case. You know, I have a prophetic anointing and I step over there a lot into that office in my place. And I think a lot of it is because of what I'm called here to do. And so I experience it a lot, especially in these days, more than I did early on. Now, Miss Annie sitting right back there was the one that pointed out to me years ago about this prophetic praying. I didn't know what she was talking about. And she pointed out, she said, you pray prophetically. So over the years, I've learned that God has developed that in me. He has embellished it. And because what Miss Annie was instrumental in, and when it comes on me in prayer, she would say, that's it, Iva. And so then I began to recognize it. But then even after all these years, I didn't have any further insight until recently. I knew when I would do it. I knew when other people around me were doing it, but I didn't have the utterance to teach it until now. And if you'll notice with this prophetic anointing, there comes this authority. There's an authority on that anointing when you begin to pray prophetically. There's such an authority with it. Okay? And I would venture to say that everybody, every Christian has a degree of this anointing. I would venture to say definitely all of you have a degree of it, because if you're called here, you must have that to function here in the fullness that God called you to. And what happens is, I've seen in particular with prayers, they don't function in it. And it's probably not your fault. Nobody has taught you. But I'm teaching you now. Amen. So to begin to yield to this more, because what happens, you'll come up on an impasse. And the only thing that can get you through it is the prophetic anointing, prophetic praying. And you have, because of your call here, you're assigned here. So your assignment, remember, and okay, this is a good juncture to read again from this word from Pastor Terry in 2003, because it's about us. And it's reiterating the reason why we have to function in this prophetic praying now, but not just function in it, but strategically, on purpose. You know, on purpose. So she says, I'm gonna really cut it down today. There are signs of the coming of the Lord, and these signs are pointing us to be prepared for that coming. Just what this is all about. In preparation for his coming requires a higher level of spiritual awareness and sensitivity to what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. When Jesus dealt with John on the Isle of Patmos, repeatedly he said, "Let those that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." And all of his sayings had to do with the things that were to come. We, now listen very carefully, we have to be more alert in this place, in this church, in this ministry, as we are assembled together because of the calling that's on this ministry and therefore on this church. Okay, listen again. It is a ministry called to not just touch the prophetic. We've touched the prophetic, but we're not called just to touch it. It's a ministry called not to just, experience the prophetic. Oh boy, we have experienced the prophetic, but we have to do more than just experience it. Okay? Listen, and it's a ministry call not to just have moments of the prophetic. Oh, we've had moments of the prophetic, but now here is the caveat. Here's the catcher. But rather, it is a ministry called to be a steady and constant force of the prophetic. A steady and constant delivery of the prophet's anointing. Well, what any other way? I don't know of a better way. In fact, I don't know of any way that is facilitated other than anything else than this thing we want to call prayer or prophetic praying in this case. That's the vehicle. That's the spout where room is made. Well, where the dispersion comes out to perpetuate and to make that force constant and steady. Your place here, though it is on many levels, multidimensional, a great portion of your calling here is to aid and assist the delivery. How are we going to aid and assist it? Remember, on many dimensions. I'm going to talk about how to aid and assist the delivery of it starting in 2020. I'm talking to you now on a general sense, but you can aid and assist it by on purpose, praying for the prophet, Brother Copeland, Pastor Terry, Pastor George, and Brother Miss Gloria, Pastor, you know. You can aid and assist it by praying over the word 2020 for more than just the first quarter. Some of you don't make it the first quarter. Because I have experienced this over the years. I watch people. And people come and they come in and, oh, they want the word of the Lord. You remember I told you God did me. That's what got me on to prophecies. I was already on them, but not on purpose. And I told you how that one year back in, I don't remember when, in the 90s, I know, we had prayer school here every week. And I was home from prayer school that day receiving healing. And my friend Jeanette came back from prayer school. She was excited about this prophecy that Brother Copeland had given in Montana. And so she came and she gave me the word and she was reading the prophecy. Man, there was so much life in it. It was so God-breathed that I hopped up off of my sofa. And I went in over there and I sat at my dining room table. She and I were talking about, oh, God, this and the outpouring, because that's what it was talking about, miracles. And then she left. I looked at that prophecy, put it on the table, I'm going to go back and enjoy my sickness. Come on, man. And on the way back, I'm walking, and the Lord said, what are you going to do about it? And I paused and I turned. He said, that's what my body does. Just like what you just did. I come and bring the word of the Lord. And they come and they get excited, maybe for one day, for 1 month. And then they do like you did. They throw it down and forget it. He said, what are you going to do about it? Yeah, change the course and the direction of my life. And for sake of time, I won't tell you today what happened. But it was phenomenal what happened. And so I began to give attention to. That's the way I could aid and assist the delivery and the function of this anointing, by taking the word that the God brings to the prophet serious and work it. And like my friends should say, prophesy the prophecy.
Right. Yes. 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 Exactly.
And so people, they make fun of me. Boy, I'll be dragging all my. You think those are foes. That's nothing. I used to have about 3 or 4 times that. Anybody known me for a long time? No, Ms. Linda, right? That's nothing. I've downsized. But I don't care. And any time before now, before Pastor Terry got Tracy to organize, anytime she needed a prophecy, vroom, you know, I had it. Till I had a lot of people messing with my stuff. I'm going to go back to do it all myself. And they'll tell you, we be sitting in a prayer meeting. And I have all these folders. She said, you have that prophecy. Broop. And it wasn't in your order. It was in mine. So don't judge me. But the important thing is finding it when you need it, or your authority needs it. So we are to aid and assist it, and assist this anointing. The function of it, the delivery of it, the function of it, the operation of it, and the increase of it. And I submit to you, this is the way you do all of those. This is the way you aid and assist it. This is the way you aid and assist the delivery of it, the function of it, the operation of it, and the increase of it by what I'm teaching you to these past, 7 weeks? So this prophetic anointing, so that's why everybody in here, you have it. And it doesn't mean prophesying. You know how people do. They get into prayer groups now. And like Brother Hagin said, they empty hands on empty heads with empty words. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about over proclaiming prophetically. You can prophesy. I do it. I mean, I do it. I now, since I've been into this, I can start praying right now. I'm prophesying 2 seconds. You know, it just comes out. That's a real utterance, thanks to us praying together. But what I've seen in the past, and I'm believing we won't repeat history, is people, oh, they prophesying, I got a word and all that. No. I'm talking about some depth. I'm talking about some deep calling to deep stuff. I'm talking about prophesying. Like, I'll tell you in a minute. If I prophesy over you, it's going to be God. You better know it. Because I don't have time to play with it. You know, yeah, the Lord got a plan for your life. I mean, everybody knows that. Tell me something specific. No, I know he has a plan. Duh. You know, but I'm not going to give you a word like that. If I give you a word, it's going to be from God. Because I don't take it lightly. I mean, now, and sometimes with this prophetic anointing, it'll come upon you and it'll linger for a specific time or a season. It will. Just like it is now. It is with me, and I believe the Lord want to do it with you. But you have to pay attention, acknowledge it, and then you have to give place to it. And as we pray together and cooperate together, then you're going to be able to recognize it more. You know, I gave you this scripture over in Numbers, how that God, you know, Moses was all, you know, frustrated about this big plan that God had given him, and he was growing weary and he needed some help. And God, you know, didn't say, you know, go and call some meetings. And I'm all about meetings. I facilitate my meetings prophetically, you know. Y'all been in, they been in my meetings. I'm talking about operational meetings where we do plans. You know, I'm not perfect, but I don't like stuff from the head because it don't go anywhere. But when you get it from the heart, you get it out of that prophetic place, boom. So, but it was interesting the strategy God gave Moses. He said, I'll tell you what, first thing first, I'm going to take that spirit that's upon you. You get 70 people. Get 70. In other words, get some elders, get some people that you know should be able to do this, and I'm going to take the spirit that's upon them and put it upon you. And, of course, you know he did, and you know they did. They got religious like we do. They got lazy. They didn't perpetuate it. They didn't seize that moment. They didn't seize that opportunity. Two people did, but all the other 68 had the opportunity to. Right. And then, you know, even the person closest to Moses, he got religious. He got jealous. Yeah. See, that's the problem. You know, if I thought, could nobody have this anointing but me, that would be a big problem. But you see, it's not my anointing to allocate. Well, I can't allocate under the, you know, right, under the direction of the head of the church. Amen. But he allocates anointings. And he normally do it through his design. The pastors, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist, that's a divine allocation and dispensing of anointings. And but you know, the one guy said, ooh, Eldad and me dad are prophesying. And they, you know, they talk Joshua, they pull Joshua out of spirit, and, you know, and he got tricked. Because, see, he got so close to Moses, and he forsook his prayer place. Apparently, he got tricked. And then Moses said, Joshua said to Moses, hey, why don't you stop them? Moses said, are you crazy? Or are you envious and jealous? He said, I wish they all was prophets. So, in other words, you can't get so close to leadership that you think, oh, I'm close to him now. I'm going to operate in the flesh. I don't have to pray. It's a trick. It's a trick to get you out of your place. I almost called Joshua his. Don't let the devil trick you. Stay in the spirit. Stay in your place in the spirit. Because I've seen people do that here that are not here. Oh, they were close to the pastors, you know. And I knew they wasn't praying. Because, see, my anointing got to do with how physically close I am to Judy or Pastor Terry. It's got to do with what I do in that prayer closet. Yes. But see, they got tricked. And then what they do, they start to pick on the person that is anointed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got them out of here too. Don't mess with me. Because see, I realize I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's the devil. And people let the devil trick them. Don't let him trick you. There is a place in the spirit that you can occupy, that you can access. Well, there is an anointing. Don't get caught up in the natural. Don't get caught up in the association. All right. I think you get the message. Get the sin of familiarity out. Because if you start dabbling over there, then you won't have full access to this anointing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But over in Acts, because I know it's quiet now. I bet you I won't find Acts after Hebrews, will I? Okay. But guys, I'm serious. Because I want you in a place to help us. I don't want Pastor Terry, I forbid, that she ever would say, Moses, say, look, if you're going to let me do this, don't give me some help, kill me. If you're going to let me work with these people, kill me. If you're going to let me do this by myself, just kill me. Wow. So now you know the story in Acts chapter 4. It happened, you know, the healing happened in Acts chapter 3. Now remember, they went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And miracles happened and persecution broke out. But now remember, they were praying. But guess what happened? The prophetic anointing was working. So they was at the temple praying in Acts chapter 3. You know, persecution broke out. They arrested Peter and John. And because that prophetic anointing was working so fiercely, they couldn't detain them. They had to let them go. Now, if we would go over to verse, and I didn't mark it. Let's start at 21 for fun. Then when the rulers and council members had further threatened them, they let them go, not seeing how that they could secure a conviction against them because of the people. For everyone was praising and glorifying God for what had occurred. For the man on whom this miracle of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. After they were permitted to go, the apostles returned to their own company and told all of the chief priests and elders had said to them, listen, that prophetic anointing is fierce. It's at work. And when they heard it, lifting their voices together, boom, prophetically. Now they're corporately prophesying. They lifted their voice and began to proclare and prophesy the scripture together. There was a prophetic anointing happening in that corporate place. It was very prophetic. I mean, that's the prophetic anointing is the only thing that can facilitate this kind of operation. What? Wait a minute. If I was to tell everybody here to pee after me, somebody ain't going to start on time. But with this harmony, with this prophetic anointing, they lifted their voices together in one accord, and they did this. They prophesied the prophecy. They prophesied scripture. And they said, and when they heard, they lifted their voice together, united in mind to one God, and said, O sovereign Lord, you are he who made the heavens and the earth, who by the mouth of your forefather David and the kings of the earth took their stand in array. For in the city they actually met and plotted together against your holy child Jesus. And now, Lord, observe their threats and grant to your bondservant full freedom to declare your message fearless while you stretch forth your hand to cure and to heal with signs and wonders through the authority and the power of the name of your child Jesus. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, they were praying prophetically. And that anointing began to unravel, and it caused something fell on them where they all lifted their voice together and began to say, wait a minute. How did they know they were going to pray Psalms 2? They didn't. This prophetic anointing caused a divine synergy, a divine harmony, and they began to utter together prophetically. And the Bible says when they had prayed, and then the signs of it, they had prayed, it was such, that anointing was so strong, the place in which they assembled was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness and courage. That's prophetic praying. It's corporate prayer, but now I'm seeing that it's prophetic prayer. Okay, we'll do some of it. Sobregedesh cabras. Impracadosh kinemarakin steda. Hold on, you didn't remind me to do the announcements. Did you do announcements before I came? We have time. Come on. Come on, Tanya. So I want y'all to pray prophetically now. Preach, pray. Come on, yeah. Okay, for the next 5 minutes, y'all pray. I'm going to watch.
Ah, oh, ande. la undande e zurrebe e zucla baba
bebe bobo hashe te bosada de bohotada
ate otlande e zucle e dos 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 Oba, es dubletis da orbe, es da gloto. Jesus saba os de brebe be dugle divando crebe baba baba oh gideando dispatch on my kanda. It's a dispatching. Oh, yeah, sabakanda. Access to boss. Give baba de to koraba. Apa. Epo po di baba. Eto po baba baba. Es du griti va du griti da di gutiato. Es tush 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 tush. Es du brebe de baba baba baba. Us di braba. Is du brebe de. Is du glede va du kush te be de kush. Baba baba baba. Oh, glede de.
No.
You need who? Hold your breath there. Protect the pure, Father. Protect the pure, Father. The places of the pure. The places of the pure. The pure things. Protect them, Father. Protect the pure. The pure word. The pure word. The pure places. Protect them, Lord. Protect them, Lord. The holy things. The holy things. Protect them, Lord. Santo, not from the mind, Lord, from the heart, Lord. Your heart, Lord, your heart, Lord, your heart, Lord, your heart, Lord.
I guess it's rude to talk to you with my head to back to you, so I didn't want to let that sweet thing hand go. But is this helping you?
Yes.
So we will continue because of how Christmas falls. I'll be here again next Sunday doing the same thing. Hopefully we'll get to pray more next Sunday. But we'll see. I'm just going to follow God. It'll be all right when you do that. But I thank you. I want everybody to get to church on time. It's already 10. Thank you all. You're dismissed.